And for that reason, I feel like the Lord led me to share this message with you today. I believe it's going to be an encouragement. And I believe that God is going to use this in your life to build a stronger relationship with your loved ones. And so, speaking of that, Thanksgiving Day, we were able to gather with our family, both Deanna's family and then my family down in Macon, my dad and stepmom. And something happened. It wasn't real big, but it was something nonetheless happened. And it got me to thinking more along this line about building stronger relationships. I think family's on everybody's mind today, probably. And if you've got a family, you certainly need to tune in to what we're going to talk about. The title of the message today is Fighting for Your Family. Fighting for Your Family. I believe that, and how many today would say with me, there's some things worth fighting for. Yes, there's some things worth fighting for. And I believe today that you are going to no doubt say, I'm willing to fight for my family. Now, those of you that cook this past Thanksgiving know there's certain ingredients that you have to put into your food. I certainly enjoy all of them good victuals, as we'd say, for Thanksgiving. But there's certain ingredients that must be incorporated and integrated inside of certain recipes. And likewise, and when it comes to relationships, there are certain ingredients that are very vital if we are going to build stronger, more lasting, loving relationships that will indeed last a lifetime. And so we're going to look primarily today at seven main ingredients, and that will no doubt enhance our relationships. So I believe today that God is going to use what is said for His glory as we watch the Lord do greater things in our family. And so having said that, let me ask you this as we get ready to prepare to share the wonderful Word of God. Is your family in survival or is your family in revival? I know today that we need revival in America. We need revival in our communities. We need revival in our homes, revival in the church. And by the way, whether anybody else is revived, you can be revived and I can be revived. But most of our families are in a mode of survival rather than revival. But I believe if God would take the message today and again would quicken it in our heart, I believe that it'll be used of the Lord to build a more loving family relationships. Now think for a moment with me right now. Who is it in your family that's kind of AWOL? Who it is in your family that's kind of distant? Who it is it in your family that's kind of right now going through something in their life and it's some reason hard for you to build a bridge to them? What can you do? What can you say? How can you watch the Lord build a better relationship in this particular person? I believe the Lord's going to show us some things today. In regards to that, and speaking of that, I heard about one man who was very wealthy, and he was up in age, and he married quite a considerably younger lady. He was up in his early 90s. He married a young lady that was in her 20s, and he suspected that she married him completely and solely because of his money. And so he decided one day to ask her the question. He said to her, he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, would you really still love me if I lost all of my money? Would you really love me if I lost all my money? She looked at him without batting an eye and said, sure, I'd love you, and I'd miss you terribly, all right? I'd miss you so sure. Well, I hope that's not the case with you. But I want to tell you something. As we go to a narrative today, here's where I want to focus on. Focus on the family. Fighting for the family. And by the way of introduction, you might note that we're going to look at some insight that will help us as we look at some hindsight in our relationships, and I believe it's going to help us in our foresight. Did you get that? I believe we're going to look today at some insights, and we're going to consider some hindsight, things we've been through. And I believe it's going to help us in our foresight. That is, it's going to help us in the days to come as we build stronger relationships for the glory of our Lord. Our families are in desperate need. And I'm going to challenge you today. Have you been praying for your family? Some of us need to get with the Lord today and really lift up our family and pray for God to give us what we're going to talk about, these seven main ingredients, these insights that are derived from hindsights that will certainly enhance our foresight as we connect with our family in a wonderful way, and we're going to see God do that. So God, give me strength each day to fight for my family. Fighting for your family. Fight for your family. Say that with me. Fight for your family. One more time. Fight for your family. And what I mean by that is not just fight for them, but that God's will would be done in their life. Fighting for our families. And we're going to take the Bible, and I'm not going to ask you to stand today. I just want you to turn to this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 15. And it's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. And the Lord has had me to share this message numerous times from the text of Luke chapter 15. But I want you to know every message is absolutely special and different than all other messages. A message is an experience. And even though I've shared this passage of Scripture probably 100 times or maybe thereabout, close to it, today, God, for some reason, has led me to this passage this week as I was reflecting on fighting for your family. And there are seven main ingredients that I think the Lord is going to use in our lives today as we pray for God to strengthen our families. Give us, Lord, more solid families. I want to pray right now, and I want you to bow with me in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you today. We bless you, Lord, that you are our rock and our salvation. We come in the name above every other name, the name of Jesus, the sweetest name I know. And I want to thank you for reaching down and saving me when I was lost and undone. I could not save myself, but you reached down in mercy. You came and lived a life without sin to die on a cross and to rise from the grave. Death couldn't hold you. The grave could not contain you. And thank you, the devil couldn't stop you. And we bless you today that you're alive forevermore. I bless you today, Father God, that you, Lord, are one day coming again with glory and power. But Father, right now, there are people hurting right here today, and their needs represented that, Lord, we all want to fix our family and want the best for our children and grandchildren and our spouses. And Lord, you know where we're at, our siblings and our parents and grandparents and, Father, our friends and relatives that are scattered abroad. Lord, we pray now that somehow that God, you'd get to our heart, that you'd, Lord, encourage us today, and that you indeed would have the preeminence. I pray that you'll continue to change lives, and that, Father, when all's said and done, we'll thank you because, as we've been singing, to you be the glory. So, God, we love you and yield afresh to you. I ask you for fresh cleansing in my heart. And the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep us from dullness. Keep us, Lord, from apathy. Keep us from complacency. Keep us, Father, from lukewarmness. And God, I pray lives today and grandmamas and granddads today, grandchildren today. God, just envelop this place with your Shekinah glory. And thank you now again for the blood of the cross. Thank you, Satan's overcome by the blood. Thank you, strongholds must come crumbling down. Thank you, Lord, that the truth of your word is marching on. And we bless you for the time we've been able to spend with our family this week. But Lord, we long for the much more that you have for us and our marriages and families. And I pray you'll get all doubt and disbelief out of us. Lord, the negativism that we're seeing even in the body of Christ, even in servant leaders that have gotten negative and critical. And dear God, there we all go yet by your grace. So Father, get us out of, Lord, the pool of despondency and bring us into victory. And we thank you now. We give you glory now. We bless you now because it's all about you. One day we look forward to seeing you. Hallelujah. But until then, God our Father, we pray you'll give us grace to run the race. And when all's said and done, we'll get around your throne and worship you because of who you are. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Now here's where we're going today in the message. There are seven main ingredients that I think the Lord put in my heart to give to you today that will no doubt help your relationships. I want to ask you a question again. How many of you could use a little better relationship in some of your family? Yep,
just like I thought. All of us could use better relationship. And those of us who don't think we can, we've got our head in the sand, okay? We need to get our head out of the sand. I know there's some things you can't control. I understand there's some things you can't, but watch. I believe God's going to use this in our life today. These seven main ingredients. And let me just draw your attention to the text we're going to be reading, primarily two. I can summarize the text if you like. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 15. It's what we call God's lost and found department. It's derived from the discourse our Lord had with the Pharisees and the scribes slash the religious group of his day. And he began to expound on a lost sheep and a lost silver, a lost son. Excuse me, two lost sons. Not just one, two lost sons. One was a religious, self-righteous son. Nonetheless, he was just as lost as the younger one was. But as we progress through this particular narrative in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, I want to bring it down to modern day language, all right? What would we say about this scenario in modern day? Here's how it would probably go. There was a family that maybe lived on the farm, and they were two boys in the family that worked on the farm, and there was a daddy and a mama, and they had a happy family. The children went to school. They worked around the house and did things around the house. But it came time for the younger boy to graduate from high school. And he had been working on the farm and around the house for many years. Well, he decided, I'm about ready to get on my own. He decided to go to his daddy and say, Daddy, I'm ready to get on my own. I'm just kind of at the place in my life where I want to venture out. I'm flapping my wings now, and I'm ready to fly out of the nest. I'm telling you in modern day vernacular, okay? And so he says to the daddy, he says, Dad, I understand you and Mama have done some things, and in essence, the boy has got, he's filled with ingratitude. He's really not appreciative to all that his parents have done. Can I get an amen among the parents? You know what I'm talking about. And the boy says, as a matter of fact, Daddy, why don't you go ahead and give me what's mine right now? That way I can enjoy it. You know, I've been watching television, and after all, I've been seeing on television where we're supposed to live it up. You know, get out from under the house. And I'm just ready to get the gusto. I'm ready to eat, drink, and be merry. That's what I'm being told. And so, Daddy, I think that I've got an inheritance coming my way. And so would you just go ahead and give me what's mine? Have you kind of been through something like that maybe in your life? Probably you have. And so the boy says to the daddy, he says, whatever's mine, I don't want to wait till you kick the can. I want you to go ahead and give it to me now. So the daddy says, all right. Against his best judgment, the daddy sees the warning flags, the red flags. The daddy and the mama is not going to try to talk this young man out of what he wants to do, but they're going to try to give him a little wisdom. How many know that parents know a little bit more than the children do? Why? Because you've been there too, right? I've been there too. Let's say that together. I've been there too. You've been there too. But the boy doesn't understand what's ahead. He thinks he's got the tiger by the tail. He's going to live it up and do what he wants to do. And you've got some children right there. Don't tell me you don't. I know you do. Well, what goes on? The boy says, well, here's what's mine. It's mine. The daddy says, well, I'll go ahead and give you what's yours. I don't know how much he might have given him. I do know in the Jewish custom it was about one-third of the inheritance. The older would get two-thirds, the younger the one-third. Let's say it was about $100,000. How many know that's a lot of money? $100,000. Here, son, $100,000. But wait a minute, son, before you run off, I want to tell you, please spend the money wisely. Don't blow it. Don't give it away. And try to keep good records. You know, I've taught you that all these years. And so here it is, son. And the boy says, oh, boy, I got this. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And he says, man, the only thing I got on my mind is, I can go, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to go buy me a brand new car first thing. I can buy a nice car. And man, you talk about women. I can just buy me a nice sports car. And
And man, I think I'll go to Las Vegas. I hear about all this gambling and fun and women and wine and wealth. Man, I'm just going up. I can't hardly wait. And so the boy goes out, and against his dad and his mom, his father's best judgment, he goes out, and supposing he buys a $50,000 mean machine, and he's ready to impress the women, and he's ready to live it up. Well, you know what the mom and the dad is thinking about that time. And all of a sudden, he's living high on the hog, as we would say. But how many know that pleasure will burn a hole in your pocket real quick? It will. And so that boy is living it up. And man, he is swinging the women on the dance floor. I think I'll go to the bars. I think I'll lights and women and fun. Isn't that what the world tells you? What life is all about? Why, you've not been having fun. You've not been living it up. This is the life. Go out and do it. The young people are being brainwashed every day with this mentality. Can I get somebody to say amen? That's your children. Hey, listen to me. That's your children and your grandchildren and my children and grandchildren. They've been bombarded, indoctrinated over and over again. Oh, they know what we say in church. They know what we say in Sunday school. But then they look in the world and they turn on the television. They turn on the computer and that tells them something else. That tells them they've been neglected and they've been hindered from really enjoying life. How many know that we're in an uphill battle when it comes to our family? That's why we got to fight for our family. Let's say fight for the family. Fight for the family. That's why it's important to bring your children to church on Sunday. That's why it's important to be in the house of God. They're not going to get this anywhere else. Yeah, they might have some opportunities here and there, but it's not like being under the Word of God and the people of God. And so, at best, they're going to be tempted and be prone to be pulled by the world. How much more do we, as mamas and daddies and Christian husbands and grandparents, need to get our family under the Word of God? You say it don't help. I beg your pardon, it does help. Last time I read it, it said, train up a child the way they should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. It didn't say he wouldn't depart. It said he will when he's old, he will not depart. That's a principle in the Word of God. It doesn't tell you that everything's going to go good with your children and grandchildren. Hello. But it tells you this, that God is faithful to his word. How many got children right now, grandchildren? You're brokenhearted over them. I understand. And so the story continues. The old boy, he's having fun, man. Daddy's not telling him what to do. Mama's not telling him what to do. He's got a little bit more cash on his hands. But the Bible says there's pleasure in sin, but just for a season. And Paul said, what a man sows, that's what he also reaps. And so next thing you know, pleasures burn a hole in this boy's old pocket. He's hurting now. He's out of money. He don't have any money. Well, let's see. I had it made back at Daddy's house, Mama's house. Yeah, I've had a little thrill here and there, but it hadn't been anything. It wasn't what I thought it was. The devil will lie to you. I said, the devil will lie to you. Yes, he will. He's a liar. But the boy don't know that. He's got to go that route. He's got to experience that. Why? Because of everything he's been taught, all of it is knowledge. It's not experiential wisdom, but God, he can gain wisdom after he goes through it. But he's got to go through some of that stuff sometimes, unfortunately. I know we keep him from going through that stuff, but you can't keep him from going through that stuff. And so what does he do? I can hear him right now. You know what? I think I'll call. I'm out of money, but I think I'll call one of my buddies. I got some buddies. And they could, maybe they can help me out. When all else fails, what do? Call your buddies, right? When you're not a Christian, especially. Call your buddies. Don't call God. Just call your buddies. Hello? You know, this is your buddy. By the way, I'm out of money, and can you get, you know anywhere I can get a job? Yeah, matters of fact, I do know where you can get a job. I've got the old home place right here, got a farm out here, and we got some farm animals. And by the way, you know, if you want a job, you can come here, and I've got a little shack down there. You can stay in that shack. You can live there for a little while if you want to, and feed the animals and take care of them, and I'll pay you a little bit along the way. How's that sound? Man, I'm hungry right now, and I don't have any money. I'm not going back home right now. I think that sounds like a good deal. I'll make a deal with you. I'll be there in the morning. And so the old boy goes over to his buddy's house. He says, where are you talking about me living? He points to an old dilapidated house about ready to fall in. No indoor plumbing. One little light hanging from the ceiling. And besides,
the cracks in the wall where the wind blows through and he's ice cold during the wintertime. Well, that old boy says, well, I think I'll just stay here for a little while. And the next thing you know, morning after morning, he gets up in the morning and he grabs that old slop bucket. It stinks. He's got to feed them old stinking hogs. And he's got that slop bucket in his hand. He's wandering through the mud and he's throwing that slop out for the hogs, and the hogs are just grunting all around him, and everything around him is not going like the way he wanted it to go. Meanwhile, the daddy, back home, 7 ingredients. What are they? Number 1, love unconditionally. Love unconditionally. Never preached this message before, but I believe the Lord is going to bless this in our hearts today. In my heart, he's already blessed it, and I know he's going to bless it in your heart too. Number 1, love unconditionally. Let's stop there for a moment, okay? Love unconditionally. Christmas is coming. Family gets together. Thanksgiving is a wonderful time of the year, but what about our families? What about the barriers? What about the walls? What about the decisions? What about the destiny of many of our families? Our hearts breaking for our grandchildren. They're not serving God. They're not in the house of God. Our children aren't where we want them to be. What do we do? What do we say? How can we deal with this? God, where are you at? Number 1, love unconditionally. Say that with me. That's hard to do, isn't it? Look up here just a minute. Y'all aren't looking, because you know it's true. That's right where you're at, isn't it? You're having a hard time loving unconditionally. Oh, I know it's easy to love when things are going your way, but what about when you disagree with your loved ones? That's a little bit different story, is it not? When you don't agree with everything they do, and when they make decisions that are bad decisions, then it's like, if you don't listen to me, I tried to tell you, you're hard-headed. Now you're doing what you're doing, and you're going to reap what you sow. I tried to keep you from that, but you're not listening. Wait, unconditional love, love unconditional. I can see that daddy and that mama saying, can you believe our son did us this way? How many know the devil will pour more and more problems as you begin to discuss these if you're not taking them to the Lord? Boy, that hit hard, didn't it? And some of you right there, I can't believe they did this. And if you're not walking and I'm not walking to the light, the enemy will build a stronger case against you. You're there right now. What do you do about it? Well, the mama says, I can't believe he did us this way. All that we did for him, and look what he's done, and look how he's acting. We hadn't heard from him in months. Where is he at? What is going wrong? What in the world is he thinking? I'm preaching to some mamas right now with broken hearts. I said, mamas with broken hearts. Yep, you're there, aren't you? What do? You love unconditionally. Daddy, I can see that daddy as he says, what am I going to do? I don't know. And his friends come up to him, and the friends of the daddy, should I say, he say, if my boy did me like that, I wouldn't have anything to do with him. I can hear that daddy say, yeah, if it was your boy, I wouldn't have anything to do with him too, but he's mine. Hello. Unconditional love. There's some of us today, right now, watch this, that need to overcome this anger and this hurt and this feeling of, where are my loved ones? How can I love them unconditionally? I want to remind you, God loves us unconditionally. There are times in our life when we do just like that boy did, and Jesus knows about it, we can be sitting in church and yet we can say, God, I know I'm not going to listen to the preacher and I'm doing my own thing, but wait a minute, unconditional love. There's some mamas and daddies in this place today. You need to rise above that negativism. You've gotten negative. You've gotten critical. You've gotten the bad attitude because your children aren't living like you want them to live, and you need to rise above it today. And the church said, preaching to somebody today, and you know who you are. Oh, thank God. Don't you let the devil rob you of victory in Jesus. Number one, unconditional love. Number two, not only love unconditionally, but number two, forgive ungrudgingly. Forgive ungrudgingly. Say that with me. Forgive ungrudgingly. Oh, it's one thing to say, I forgive. It's nothing to harbor a grudge. You know, that bone to pick. You know, resentment that deeps down in your heart. Oh, I forgive. You can say it with words, but brother and sister, you know deep down inside when you get angry and mad. In fact, some of us are so mad we could spit bullets, all right? You ever been so mad you could spit bullets? You ever been mad at some of your loved ones? Yeah, you have. You know what I'm talking about. Forgive unconditionally. Forgive unconditionally. Right now, today, some of you didn't get to see your family during Thanksgiving, did you? They didn't even show up, did they? Didn't even hear from them, did you? I don't know who you are. Nobody's told me that. I just know it. And some have been out of the picture for a while, hadn't they? And some of them, if you did get together with them, they didn't really connect. They were preoccupied. And it hurts. You've been cooking. You've been cleaning. You've been waiting. You've been thinking about them. You've been praying that God would unite your hearts with them, and it didn't go like you wanted it to go. Now, you can get mad or you can get glad. Get mad or glad. Let's say that together. Get mad or glad. And some of you heard it today, and you've learned how to be professional and suppress that anger. Listen to me. Oh, don't miss this. You see, we can internalize anger, internalize hurt and resentment. And no wonder the writer of Hebrews, I believe Paul said, looking diligent, lest any seed of bitterness spring up, trouble you, thereby cause many to be defiled. And some of you are mad at God. You're mad at God because you didn't have a good relationship with your daddy. You're mad at God because you hadn't had a good relationship with your mama. You're mad at God because you hadn't had and your children now aren't respecting you and treating your life. And deep down inside, if you're not careful, you're mad at God. No wonder I don't want to serve God. No wonder I want to be in church. I'm going to go and I'm going to pretend like everything's okay. I'm going to smile. I'm going to put on a front. But deep down inside, God, oh, if you really love me, why am I having to go through all this stuff? Lord, if you really love me, and you said in your word, and I hear all these things that the preacher says and people say on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff about God is good, but God, I'm going through this mess right now and I don't see the good in this mess. Will you rise above that unforgiveness? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's Ephesians 4:32. Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. If you do not forgive men from your heart, forgive them their trespasses, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Really? Matthew chapter 18, the Lord said to the man teaching a lesson about forgiveness when Peter came to him, he said, concerning a man who would not forgive, that man will be turned over to the tormentors. And then our Lord said this, listen, he said, likewise, my heavenly Father, do to you if you don't forgive from your heart. Now, you're hurt, and I know you've been through some stuff. I understand. I don't understand at all. But I know this. I know you can overcome that unforgiveness. I know that if God's forgiven us, I said, I know that if God's forgiven us, I know that I've sure been forgiven a lot. Have you been forgiven a lot? How can we harbor unforgiveness and resentment toward anyone when we have tasted the grace of God and we have been experiencing the love of God? I'm telling you, God will enable us all to forgive. Some of you today, you're not going to get any better until you get with the Lord today. You're not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. You feed that sword, it's going to get worse, worsely infected. You've been picking at that thing long enough, hadn't you? It's not going to get well. You've been picking at it, and it's going to get infected more. till you bring it to Jesus, the great physician. There's a third ingredient that I think we can learn from this particular account. It's not only love unconditionally, say that with me. Love unconditionally, and not only forgive ungrudgingly, say that with me. You getting these? More than just getting them intellectually, we need to get them spiritually today. Number three. Serve sacrificially. Serve. What? When somebody's done me, are you kidding me? You think I'm going to serve them? Uh-uh, it ain't going to happen. Not me. They don't deserve it. Ah, look what they've done. Look how they treated me. Look how they acted. Me serve them. Mm-mm. That's where you're at. That's where we're at. I'm not going to do anything for them. They haven't done anything for me. They hurt me, I hurt them. They don't call me, I don't call them. They don't text me, I don't text them. They don't write me, I don't write them. They don't come to my house, I'm not going to go to their house. Cycle goes on. Is that really the way the Lord wants you to act? That's being just like them, isn't it? God says you got to rise above that. You and I are the children of God. As you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, go walk in Him. Yes, the Lord is wanting to bring healing today. And so, not only forgive unconditionally. Notice, forgive. How can I forgive when it hurts so much? I can't seem to let this thing go. The more I think about it, the madder I get. And I nurse it, curse it, rehearse it. I'm just in a mess. I can't forgive. Some of you right there today. And you'll never, ever, 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 ever be able to forgive until you bring it to the Lord. And then you experience His forgiveness. And then you'll be able to let some of that anger go. I'm not saying you walk around as an angry people. There's a lot of people that can smile, be nice inside, but it don't take much. Watch this. To put your finger on that abscess tooth, man, you come hollering. We've learned to camouflage it. We've learned to cover it up. We've learned to be sophisticated in our dealing with our anger and our you know, resentment, but it'll come out sooner or later. And by the way, it'll come out and our family sees it too. It's not good. How many know it ain't good? It ain't good. No, it ain't good. Serve sacrificially. Watch this. Forgiveness is not something we do for other people. We do it for ourselves to get well and move on. How many agree with that? And so you think you're hurting them by not calling them. You think you're hurting them by not talking to them. You think you're hurting them by, well, if they treat me this way, I'm just going to treat them the same way. It's not hurting them, it's hurting you. Sooner we come to that conclusion, the sooner we get freedom and relief. Now, I know some of you learned to deal with it. You got the brakes on right now. I can tell you got the brakes on. You saying, I'm hearing you, preacher, but you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm, no, take the brakes off. Take the brakes off. Take the brakes off. If you want help, if you want to move on with God, if you want to overcome, you got to get your foot off the brake and let God bring healing in your life. Fight for your family. And by the way, you might be the biggest hindrance in your family right now. And you don't even realize it. We're spiritual, we sit in church, we know the Bible, we've taught Bible studies, we've memorized scripture and all that stuff. You think that impresses God? Oh, it's good. But deep down inside, what's your heart like? That's the real key, isn't it? But we become spiritual, you know? I mean, I'm praise the Lord. We got to forgive, not for the others, but for ourselves. How many want the blessings on your family? I want the blessings on my family. You're not going to get the blessing on your family. I'm not going to get the blessing on my family until I learn to move on. I've got to move on. I've got to get free. I've got to bring healing. You don't know what they've done. This happened as a child. I came to a broken home. And I had this bitter divorce. They're writing stuff about me on Facebook that ain't true. I can't move on. Blessing of your family. There's a fourth ingredient that if we're going to fight for a family and really get free in the Lord, there's some insight because of some hindsight that brings us to some foresight. Now here's an old boy. He's feeding them hogs, and he's sick and tired of feeding them hogs. Man, I can't get over the stench, slopping them hogs and sleeping in cold and thinking about, you know, I could be in a warm bed tonight. I could be sitting down at the table and them biscuits. What do you call them biscuits your mom made? Cathead biscuits. Man, I could have them. That gravy. What kind of gravy is it you like? That gravy. I could have a gravy on turkey and dressing. Woo! Sweet potato souffle. Green beans. Squash. Rolls that'll melt in your mouth. Pecan pie. My stomach's growling. My stomach's growling. If I could just get... I don't know. I don't know. I told Dad and Mom I was going to leave. And what am I going to do? Two choices. Do I want to keep living this way? Or do I want to have, I need a change in my life. Some of us today need a change. It might not be in the hog pen, but it might be, you know what? God, I need a change. How many know that God's able to bring people to themselves? And it needs to take place with me. It needs to take place with you. So, am I going to serve sacrificially? You want true greatness in your life? Learn to serve sacrificially. James and John, who's going to get on the right hand? Who's going to get on the left hand? Can I remind you something? Me serve that dirty rat the way they treat. We hadn't heard from them. They hadn't been at our house. They don't even come to Christmas time. To do is just to get the gifts and leave. Me serve him? Wait a minute. I'm reminded of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 13. You know what he did? He got a towel and he began to take it from his waist and he began to get those disciples' dirty feet. Who was in them disciples? He washed their feet. Judas Iscariot. What? Jesus washed Judas's feet? He knew he would betray him. He knew that the devil would possess him. No. I can't believe Jesus washed Judas's feet. Me wash their feet? They hadn't washed mine. They hadn't done anything for me. I've given and given and tried to love them. That daddy's saying, you know what? And the mama says, you know what? We're going to have to believe God and trust God that God's going to turn our son's heart around. And in fact, the word of God says that he came to himself. He said, I'll arise and go back to my father. Boy, that's a happy day. And I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee. I'm no more worthy to call thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Did the father say, you dirty rascal, look what you've done. I tried to tell you, and you messed up anyway. And after all, you've been hard-headed, and I was trying to keep you from all this stuff. No, the daddy didn't rehearse all of that like I would have done and probably you would have done, because we're still hurt about it, and we still want to get him back because we hadn't gone to the cross of Christ. But what does the daddy do? The daddy sees him afar off and he's coming back home. Yes, he is. Oh, bless the Lord. And the Lord was telling these Pharisees and scribes, by the way, and he says, the father runs to his son, falls on his neck. Really? After all he'd been through? Yeah. Wait a minute. Time out. Do you think the daddy might have said this? Maybe I was a bad daddy. I can't hear you. Maybe it was something I did wrong. Y'all look at me, look at me, look at me. There are not any perfect parents. And there are not any perfect children. Sure, all of us could look back in retrospect and say, well, if I had something to do differently. But you can't blame yourself for everything, all right? You got to move on with the Lord and say, God, I did the best I could with your help and what I hadn't done, then I'm willing to get it right with you and right with whoever it needs to be. That's why today is very important. So the father, what does he do? The son's coming back home. He falls on his neck. He kissed him. The Greek language says he kept on kissing him. You don't understand. You don't understand. The boy's been feeding hogs, okay? He's not been in the Holiday Inn taking a shower with all the fragrance. He's coming home. And probably, I can imagine in my mind, his old beard is matted, hair is a mess, clothes are stinking. The daddy didn't say, hey, by the way, go take a shower first. I would have. Wouldn't you? By the way, get cleaned up. About time you came home. By the way, there's some tools out there. Get on out there in the yard and pick up where you left off some. No, I'm glad our Father are here. Have anybody ever been there? You ever been there? I've been there when I got up out of the hog pen and said, God, I know I don't deserve your grace, but I've seen what the devil can do. I need a change in my life. I'm telling you today, our Father is a Father that'll come running to you and smother you with kisses. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Now, if you've not experienced the Father's love like that, you won't shout. But if you have, you're going to shout. You can't help but it. You must not have experienced the love of the Father. Maybe you have, but maybe you've forgotten it. No. You got amnesia. You got spiritual amnesia. Let me take you back. But you know what the Father does? Hey, our son, he was dead, but he's alive. He was lost, but he's found. The best robe. Put it on him. Shoes on his feet, ring on his hand. Kill that fatted calf. My son was blind. He was lost, but he's found. He was dead, but he's alive. Woo! We're going to throw a party. He's back home. Any parent or grandparent knows if you've been weeping bucketfuls of tears and the devil's done everything he can to ruin your family, it's a happy day when a breakthrough comes. I know you're sitting here saying, all my family's saved and all my children are doing this, that, and the other. It don't take but one bad decision. That daddy says, son, don't you forget. One little compromise will lead to big consequences. Just cause right now they're in the straight and narrow way doesn't mean you don't need to be praying for them. Hey, don't forget, daily decisions determine destiny. And the daddy tried to tell the boy, let's throw a party. But wait a minute. That elder brother, I can see him out in the field. He's working, he's laboring. What I hear? Music? I hear some, what in the world's going on at daddy's house? The servant said, hadn't you heard? No, I hadn't heard. What's going on? Your brother came home. And so what? He came home. He should have. Your brother came home. Your daddy's happy. Your mama's happy. They've been crying out to God and praying for him. So what? You mean they throw them at a party? I've been out here all this time. I've been working on this farm all this time. I've been living. I hadn't gone out and spent all daddy's money. I hadn't been out like that boy has. And I've never had a party. I can't believe they're giving him a party. Let me remind you, Jesus is talking to Pharisees and scribes right now. And this is, if we're not careful, this is just how Christians can act when somebody gets to Jesus and gets saved. And their own needs aren't met. Oh, you didn't recognize me. And somebody gets saved and gets born again and somebody has their feelings hurt because something didn't happen to them. If we're not careful, we can have that same attitude as that elder brother. Religious. Self-righteous. Getting people to Jesus, I think, is top priority, don't you? But wait a minute, time out. If it interrupts your schedule and my schedule, are we going to be happy about it? test time, test time, test time. You've been putting a lot of time doing this, that, and other, and all of a sudden it interrupts your time or your plans. You going to be happy about it? Many of you will be, but some of you won't be. Something will go wrong, and you'll be mad because something get wrong because it didn't go your way instead of rejoicing. That's that elder brother spirit. Maybe we need to get with God today because we've had an elder brother spirit, and we're not looking at the lost that they need to get to Jesus. And it's not about me and my little comfort zone. It's about what God wants to do. Yes, I'm willing to serve Him, Lord. Main ingredients. There's a fifth main ingredient that we're going to have breakthroughs from our family. Number five, love how? Love how? Forgive how? So you can forgive and still have a grudge. Three, serve how? See, they don't deserve it, do they? You love the Lord. You want the blessings of God on your life. That's why you're serving the Lord. You want God's blessings, right? And that's why you do it. It's not what they deserve. Look up here. It's not what they deserve. That's called G-R-A-C-E, grace. Say that with me. Grace. God doing for us what we don't deserve. And that's when we show grace to others who they don't deserve either. Oh, I know we all know that intellectually, but when it comes to practically actually showing it, that's a different animal in itself. Number five. If we're going to have breakthroughs in our family, we've got to die to self daily. Die to self daily. You agree with me? Wait a minute. That's my money. That's my friends. That's my music. That's my time. That's my job. That's my thing. That's what I want to do. Yeah, that daddy could have been that way too, and that mama could have been that way too. I love this account right here. I'm sorry, I skipped over one. Number four, listen compassionately. How many knew I skipped over one? Let me see your hand. A couple of you Sunday school teachers, you can tell the Sunday school teachers in the house of God. Amen. Hey, listen compassionately. Say that with me. Listen compassionately. You know what? When we're angry and mad, we don't want to hear. I mean, you know, we're. Listen compassionately. What do we mean by that? We've got to learn to be a good listener. God, help me to be a good listener. That daddy had to let his son tell him, I've sinned against heaven before thee. No more worthy be called thy son. The daddy didn't say, hush, son. I don't want to hear that. Listen compassionately. How many husbands and wives could use a little work right there? Instead of butting in, instead of interrupting, you've heard me say, and God help us all in this area, the average conversation between a husband and wife, guess how long it lasts without one interrupting? Come on, I've told y'all some of this. 17 seconds. 17 seconds. Time yourself. We got to learn to zip it up and listen without interrupting. I tell you, we can get a lot more communication going on. That's one of the real needs in our families, in our children, and in our relationship with our wives. But wait a minute. I've got to go on. Die to self. Why? Because die to self daily. Why? I love this. Jesus said, except for a grain of wheat, die, it does not produce fruit. Listen, I'm never, ever going to have the kind of relationship with my wife, with my children, my grandchildren, or anybody else, a Christian, until I learned this principle of going to the cross and reckoning myself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus put it this way, except for a grain of wheat, die, it does not produce fruit. You and I have the choice today. If you're going to let the flesh control and what you want to do, you're never going to build that relationship. You're never going to bring healing. There's never going to be forgiveness until we die to what we really want to do, because in me dwells no good thing. And that I will do, I find myself not doing. And that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. And there's a war going on in me. Paul said that. Walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in total opposition to one another, that you may not do the things that you please. And it's all through the Bible. Romans chapter 8.
carnally minded is death and sin, Galatians chapter 5. And over again, the flesh. But wait a minute. If I'm willing to be like Jesus, he said, if a grain of wheat die. You see, this grain has a choice. I'm either going to stay in the barn where it's nice and comfortable, and I'm not going to have to go through that dirt and that water and that cold and the temperature. I'm just going to stay in the safe zone. That's the way we get at times. But wait a minute. That other grain of wheat says, no, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to crack open that. Wait a minute. Y'all aren't getting this. That hard outer shell of self. You've been in control all these years, hadn't you, of your life? And watch this. You're in a tailspin when things get out of your control. You want to be in control. That's your problem. Boy, that hurt. That hurt. You want to be in control. That's the problem. Let me just put it this way. We want to be in control. Things get out of your control, that's when you're thrown for a tailspin. That's when you have to die. Take the flesh, put it to the cross. God, I'm trusting you. I can't control everything. Right? We want to be in control. How many agree with me? That hard outer shell's got to crack open. So that life can be germinated, come forth. How many need to get to the altar today? How many need to pray today? Too much of me, not enough of you, Lord. I want to be in control. Next, the blessings on your family. Not only die to self daily, but number 6, encourage and pray fervently. You know the daddy did that. Encourage and pray fervently. Say that with me. Encourage and pray fervently. Listen, you're not going to get through what you're going through by just suppressing it, by pushing it down, by pretending like it's not there. The more less you think about it, the better off you are. No, you got to pray about that thing. You've got to let that thing go. You got to let God bring some healing in your life. You're miserable. And then last but not least, let the Holy Spirit flow freely. There's not going to be these main ingredients. If we put them together, I'm telling you, God's going to help us to fight for our family. And so encourage and pray. Encourage one another. Build up each other daily. Yes, build up each other daily. And let the Holy Spirit of God flow through. As long as we're harboring resentment, as long as we're mad, as long as we're hurt and we can't get past that, the Holy Spirit is not going to be flowing through. That's the only way I can love unconditionally. That's the only way I can forgive ungrudgingly. That's the only way I can serve sacrificially. That's the only way I can listen compassionately. That's the only way I can put the death to the flesh, die to the flesh daily. That's the only way I can encourage each other faithfully. That's the only way is the Holy Spirit of God flowing through me. This is what we're getting at. If we skip over this number 7, then we will not get to any of the rest of them. Is the Holy Spirit of God living in you right now? Is the Holy Spirit of God flowing through you right now? In you, through you. Is there some blockages there? Or are there some places that are stopped up that you need God to flow through? There are. And God is saying to us today, as we stand to our feet this very day, that, Lord, if we're going to have strong families, if we're going to have a fight for our family, we've got to let the Holy Spirit of God flow through. Be not drunk with wine for success, but be filled with the Spirit. Today, where are you at? Are you going to fight for your family? Are you going to fight for your family?